Should be, unless I put it in backwards. That one. The little one. Just push play on the bottom. I already had it set up. Oh. All right, now you have to rewind it. There you go. Now it should go. There we go. Train up your children in the way they should go. Show them the lessons of the heart. Teach them the truth that they most need to know. And when they are old, they won't depart. A prodigal son, I thought I could run from the truth. I wandered away and squandered the days of my youth. But when I had come to the end of myself and found I was left all alone, the light of the truth I had known led me back home. So train up your children in the way they should go. Show them the lessons of the heart and teach them the truth that they most need to know. And when they we fear our children don't hear what we say. But now it's their turn. What did they learn from our ways? And if we're careful to teach him his word, to water the seeds we have sown, we'll lead them back home. So train up your children in the way they should go. Show them the lessons of the heart. Teach them the truth that they most need to know. And when they are old, they won't depart. Faith weaves the truth in the family. Train up your children in the way they should go. Show them the lessons of the heart and teach them the truth that they most need to know. And when they are old, they won't depart. Train up your children in the way they should go. Show them the lessons of the heart and teach them the truth that they most need to know. And when they are old, they won't depart. Believe me, they'll get old. And when they are old, they won't depart. And when they children are getting really old. Oh, it's in this book. What's the next song? And then we'll let, who's going to play the piano first for us? Who's going to play the piano first? Rachel? And then who else is playing the piano today? Huh?
Christine.
No. Okay. Well, Are we gonna let the ladies fight over the candy before the piano special?
Let's wait till the longest we can.
Okay. Yeah. It's dangerous. It's embarrassing when, you know, the oldest mothers are both the same age, or they both have the same amount of children here and stuff, you know. and they're looking at that chocolate like, yeah. All right, well, let's go to 560. Let's stand up, and if the ushers would come forward on the last verse.
Thank you. that song. Everyone wanted to sing it anyway.
Because he lives, I can live tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Okay, well, such a nice crowd today. Make sure you mark on your calendars the first Sunday of next month. We're going to have a potluck afterwards. The ladies back there will let us know what we should be bringing. I don't know if the church is going to provide.
I already gave Betsy
the information. All right, good. And then following Sunday night, then the trio, with or without Jason, we don't know, but we're going to do a concert on the Sunday night service. And that'll be my official last week here. I move into Tucson next weekend. But I'll be back and forth and come and visit you guys when I'm in town. All right. So anyway, Rachel, I think.
Rachel.
You want to do the candy thing after Rachel?
Yeah.
Introduced all of my family to you in a long time. They're not all here, but we have a few. I would like, first of all, for my wife to stand, this being Mother's Day. Thank you. And now you may sit down. I would like my children to stand, if they will. We got three of the four. Now, I would like my grandchildren to stand, please. Got some of them here. And now, I would like my great-grandchildren to stand. There's another one. There's another one somewhere out there. Yeah. All right. Well, four generations of us, that's pretty good. I don't know if that merits a box of candy or not. But I'm afraid I've already made the accusation this morning to a certain lady here that the only reason she came this morning was for a box of candy. But Lois is going to have to... Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here older than Lois Bryant? That's a good way to put it, isn't it, girl? Yeah.
87
years
to get here.
87 years. All right. We'll ask her husband to come and get this candy for her and present it to her.
Be more than happy to.
I'll tell you, it used to be Dorothy Rhodes, because when you get up into your 90s, there's not very many people that's going to beat you at that age. All right. We're happy today to have the Bryants back with us here on Mother's Day. Appreciate them very much and their ministry here. And let's see. I've got another one here. This is for the youngest mother. Do we have any teenage mothers here? Do we have a mother who is 20? There you go. I knew Laurie was going to get something this morning.
She wants the chocolate.
All right, call me out some ages. 23? Are you that old already? This is your first Mother's Day too, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, come on up here. Come on up here. Yeah. All right. You barely made it. See, there's one more here. And to keep from showing my wife up, Nacenta went all the way over to Palau to get out of the picture. Otherwise, she would have been here with Joy and David and Melanie. And there would have been a tie between her and my wife. Is there anyone here that has more than three children present with you in this service? More than three. How many do you have present in this service? Where are they? They've got to be present, Mary. I know you wanted a box of candy. Oh, that's all right. Mary's trying.
Pastor, remember, I'm from the Philippines, okay?
Yeah. All right. Is there anyone here that has over three? Is there anyone here that has three children present? Raise your hand. All right.
Come on. Mary counts more, she counts less.
Yeah. All right. Scotty will get it for you. There he is. So Rita finally got a box of candy on Mother's Day. Just think, if Robert had been here, you'd have got two boxes. Anyway, we're glad to have all of you and all the visitors that are with us today. How many of you brought children? How many of you have children present in service today? Come on. Boy, look at the hands. There are a whole bunch of them here. We've got children from Arizona. We've got children from all over the place, don't we? Glad to have you guys back from Arizona. I was afraid you might have a heat stroke and have to stay over there, but yeah. All right. It's good to be here. And anyway, buddy, have you sung yet?
Yes.
You sung.
Yeah.
It's time to preach now.
It was on Proverbs. Train up your children in the way they should
have. Oh, that's right. I remember that now. It's the short-term memory that's going. All right. Let's preach a few minutes. Glad you're here. I know that after the service this morning, a lot of you will be going out to eat. Mothers don't fix dinners anymore for all of their kids. That's a used to be. That's a has been. Anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. John chapter 19, verse 25. John 19:25 tells us, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. The Bible tells us about a man by the name of Heli, not E-L-I, but H-E-L-I. Heli was a Jew of the tribe of Judah. He was a descendant of King David through David's son Nathan. Heli grew up married. We do not know the name of his wife, but he and his wife had children. One of those children was a daughter that they named Mary. Now, Heli and his wife lived in the northern province of Galilee in a city called Nazareth. His daughter Mary grew up to be a beautiful, mature young woman. She was of marrying age. Still a virgin, she was engaged to be married to a carpenter there in Nazareth by the name of Joseph. One day, God sent his angel Gabriel down to Nazareth with a personal message to Mary from the Lord. He told her that she had been selected for a very special service. If she were willing, he's asking her permission. If she were willing, God would use her physical body to become incarnate. God would enter into her womb. She would become pregnant. And in 9 months, God himself would be born into this world in a human body. That takes faith to believe this. This is what God's Word teaches us. God, who created all things in the beginning, by whom all things consist, is going to become a man. He's going to be born into this world in a human body as a little baby. And he's going to grow up into manhood, and he's going to experience life as a human being. And Mary's body would become the gateway by which God would enter into this world of humanity in a body of flesh. Mary was told, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Mary consented. She was willing for this to take place. She and her husband Joseph went ahead, got married as planned. And the Bible says that Joseph knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he, Joseph, called his name Jesus, which means Savior. Jesus, that name which is above every name. Jesus. At the sound of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his holy name. When the time was come, she and Joseph traveled 94 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem in Judea, so that the messianic prophecy of Micah, given in chapter 5 and verse 2, and given 730 years before it happened, might be fulfilled. They arrived in Bethlehem. There was no room for them in the inn. They were fortunate to find lodging in a stable, and that is where the baby Jesus was born. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. When the baby was 40 days old, he was taken 6 miles up the road to Jerusalem to the temple for his dedication. That was according to Jewish law in Leviticus chapter 12. There in the temple of the Lord, they encountered an old man of God by the name of Simeon. Now, sometime before, God had appeared to Simeon and told him that he would live long enough to see the Messiah. And he came into the temple at the time the baby Jesus was being dedicated. And he came and took that little baby boy, 40 days old, into his hands. And by the Holy Spirit, he uttered a prophecy to Mary concerning her child. And he said to her, "A sword shall pierce through thy soul." 33 years later, that prophecy came to pass. There at the cross, Mary saw her son Jesus crucified outside the north wall of Jerusalem at a place called Golgotha, or perhaps it's better known as Calvary. And our text says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. The words of Simeon, which Mary had pondered in her heart all these years, were fulfilled. And that sword pierced through her soul as her only begotten son gave up the ghost. We can only imagine the pain, the hurt, the agony that this piercing caused Mary. No doubt the events of her son's earthly life flashed vividly through her memory, triggered by the words of her son Jesus, who said, "For this cause came I into the world," as he hangs there dying. So far as we know, this is the last time that we see Mary in the scriptures. There's no specific mention of her having seen Jesus after he was resurrected. During the 40 days that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. But I am certain that she did. And it seems strange that Mary is not listed among these women who came to the empty tomb on that resurrection morning. I'm a little surprised that she wasn't there. Mary Magdalene was there. So was Mary, the mother of the apostle James and Joseph. So was Joanna, who was the wife of Chuza, who was Herod's steward. So was Salome. She was Zebedee's wife, the mother of the apostles James and John. And the Bible says other women that were with them. Was Mary there? Was she one of these? Has she been relegated to the ranks of other women? If she had been with them, surely the Holy Spirit, the divine author of the scriptures, would have put her name at the very top of the list. History does record that Jesus committed the care of his mother to John the apostle, and he took care of her until she died at Ephesus while John was pastoring the church there. My message to mothers today is this. You play a very important role in the economy of God. A great responsibility has been entrusted to you. Now, father has the obligation of support for his family to provide for them, but the bending of the twig, so to speak, is in the mother's hands. And you cannot do it properly without God. I look back over my own personal life history. My mother was a 16-year-old girl when she met my dad. They fell in love and were married. And I came along about 5 years later. I was the firstborn of that family. My dad was a farmer, and I was raised during the Depression. So were my brothers. My mother and dad wound up having 5 boys. I can remember when they got saved back in 1934. Five boys. My mother and daddy were not outstanding Christians. They loved the Lord. They went to church regularly. They read the Bible. They prayed. Now they got 5 boys to raise. I don't know how they did it. My brother Tommy, who was the middle of the 5, was the first one to surrender his life to the Lord. And he served the Lord as a missionary for quite a number of years. And then after that, he continues to serve in his church. My brother next to me, Bill, I called him the other day on his 82nd birthday. He and his wife are still active in church. They've been active ever since he was born, serving the Lord. My brother James lives down in Houston. He's a sort of a, I don't know what he is, elder or something like that in his church down there. Got a lot of responsibility, handles money, helps them in the business transactions and things like that, as well as teaching a class all these years. My little brother Charles, that died 2 or 3 years ago, had a continuous 19-year ministry teaching and preaching at a rest home out at Garland, Texas, right outside Dallas. I surrendered to preach in 1950. Been at it for 63 years now. I don't know why, and I don't know how, but I look back over my family, my brothers, and I know that the influence of my mother and father had a great deal to do with my being here today. I don't know just how much credit to give them, but they were just plain ordinary people that apparently God blessed with a wonderful family. When your child is born, he becomes a person of his own. He's a separate entity. You can feed him and nurture him and care for him. You can train him up in the way that he should go and claim God's promise that when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Our world will become a better place when mothers do their job. I've lived long enough to see things change. It used to be that the father was the one out here that worked and provided for his family, and the mother stayed at home and she took care of all of the housework and preparing the meals and washing the clothes and the dirty dishes and taking care of the kids and raising them. And I can remember when the change came that our economy began to get disrupted, and I know how it is today. That whenever a young couple starts out, financially, they both have to work. They both have to go outside the home to make a living, to pay the rent, to make the car payments, to buy the groceries and such as this. It takes 2 incomes today. I can understand that. But the price that we're paying is more than just dollars and cents. We have a generation of children today that breaks my old heart. When I see them going into sin, when I see them drifting into drugs and alcohol and everything else in this world, forsaking their parents. Anyway, consider and learn a lesson from nature. Observe the animals. Go out into the north woods and you run across a mama bear that's got a couple of cubs over here. You'd better look for the nearest tree, because she is going to be very protective of her family. I can remember growing up on the farm, watching the mother hens with all of their little chickens around them as she's getting out here and protecting them. If a hawk flies overhead, she makes a sound that only those little chickens can hear, and she squats down and all of the little children's little chickens come and gather under her wings, and she protects them from the danger. I used to watch her out there when she's scratching around in the dirt, the sounds that she would make that only her little chickens could understand. And she would make that sound and the little chickens would come running to find out what mama had scratched up out of the yard. We used to have a fence post near our yard that had a big knot hole in it. And there was a little bluebird that would come and build a nest in that post every year. And I used to have so much fun when I was a little boy, because the mother's out here looking for bugs and worms to bring and to feed for the little birds. The little birds, you know, the biggest thing about them is their mouth. And so while the mother bird is gone, I'm out here digging around in the dirt, and I find some worms. And I take the worms and I cut them up into pieces, and I go over there. And when those little birds don't have their eyes open yet, and they hear me coming, they hear the sound, and they open their mouths just like that, see? And I would get over there and I would just plug them up with worms. And I'd feed them, and directly I leave and stand off over here. Here comes a mother bird, and she's caught a worm or something, and she flies up there. And the little birds just ignore her. They don't pay her any mind. Why? Because their little tummies are filled up with worms that I caught and fed them. That used to be so much fun. But you know, those mother birds, they took care of them. And they had no fear about attacking enemies that were a dozen times their size, with no thought of their own physical safety. Motherhood bestows perhaps the greatest joy in the world. Now we fathers, we beam with pride when our children are born. But I'm sure that only God can understand the deep emotions of a mother when that doctor takes that newborn babe and lays it on her breast. Man will never know what that's like, but a mother does. Likewise, I believe that there is a greater grief and a deeper sorrow felt by mothers over their children when they're hurt or injured or when they get into trouble or when they die. Mothers, you owe it to your children to be godly, to walk in the ways of the Lord. When you become a mother, you are no longer your own. You can no longer do as you please. God has placed in your hands a life to mold. You have a responsibility, an example to set. Sacrifices must be made. And again, I say you cannot do it alone. You need the help of the Lord. We make a lot over Abraham. And I'm not belittling Abraham a bit. But God came to Abraham one day, and he's going to test Abraham's faith in him. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and make a 3-day journey to a certain mountain. And when you get to that mountain, I want you to take your son up to the top of that mountain, and I want you to offer him on an altar up there as a burnt sacrifice to me. And the Bible talks about Abraham's faith, how that he obeyed God, and he did that. But he didn't have to kill him. When God saw that his intentions were right, God showed him a ram to substitute for his son. But I want you to think for a moment. When did God do this to Abraham? After Sarah was dead. Can you picture, if you will, Abraham going into Sarah and saying, Sarah, by the way, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Sarah was 90. And he's a pretty good sized boy by now. Sarah, God asked me to offer our only son Isaac as a burnt offering on the altar. And I told him I would do it. My imagination. You're going to do what over my dead body you are? You think Sarah would have went along with that? God knew better than that, so he waited till Sarah was out of the picture before he approached Abraham about it. Anyway, what about Hannah? Hannah had prayed and asked God for a son. God answered her prayer and gave her Samuel. She kept him till he was weaned. Then she brought him to the house of the Lord. And the Bible says she lent him. That means loaned. She lent him to the Lord. And she left him in the custody of Eli the priest. But can you imagine the emptiness of that mother's heart as she returned from Shiloh to her home in Ramah in Mount Ephraim? But she had vowed a vow, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. So she didn't have to worry about it. Lord, he's yours. She only saw him once a year. Now Mary served as a beautiful example of what a mother should be. When God spoke to her, she was obedient. Without hesitation, she was willing to become God's servant. God really picked the right woman when he chose her. And she loved her child. She made personal sacrifices for him, and somewhere in her experience, she saw him as God and recognized and accepted him as her personal Savior. And his blood that he shed that day on the cross of Calvary as she stood there made atonement for Mary's sin the same as it did ours. And Mary was faithful to Jesus. She became his disciple. She followed him. She believed and accepted his teachings. And listen, in closing, let me say this. I am sure that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is embarrassed by all of the undue attention that she has received through the years.
Yes.
Mary never exalted herself as the mother of God. Nor does she appreciate the reverence and worship that she receives from those who have relegated her to a position of exaltation even higher than that of her divine Son. She did not ask to be put on a pedestal, but she was willing to put herself among the ranks of the believers. Beloved, there is but one Savior, and her name is not Mary. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this Mother's Day. We thank you for each mother that is present in our congregation today. And we thank you for the mothers that you gave us. Many of us have mothers who've already gone on to glory. They've done their job. They fulfilled their purpose here. And they've gone to their reward. Oh, we thank you, Father, that there's coming a reunion day when we shall be gathered together as a family unit around the throne of God. I'm going to see my mother again one day. I'm going to see my daddy again one day. I have that hope in my soul. And it's because of Jesus that I have this hope. Heavenly Father, today, again we thank you for the mothers present in this assembly. We pray your richest blessings upon each and every one of them. Some are grandmothers already, even great grandmothers among us. You've been good to us through the years, and we praise you for it. Father, today, if there's one here that is unsaved, we want to give them an opportunity, man, woman, boy, or girl, to come forward and to make a public profession of faith in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we pray that you will so speak to their hearts today that they will respond to your invitation to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
494.
As we sing a verse of invitation this morning, the invitation is for you to come. Whatever purpose it might be, maybe to rededicate your life to the Lord, maybe for prayer, maybe to join the church, whatever it is, you come and let God have his wonderful way in your life.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart.
For this couple to come to join our church. I'm glad that there's a church in this neighborhood people could come to be edified, built up in the most holy faith. A place that believes and preaches the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world.
Amen.
May this church always stand on those principles of faith. We have coming this morning Karen and David Borden.
Barden.
B-A-R-D-E-N. All right.
That's okay. That's the first time.
That's not the first time. All right. Many of you here know them. I watched them this morning as they came in. Appreciate their coming. And all of you that are glad they came, let it be known by a hearty amen.
Amen.
Any opposed? Nobody said anything. All right, we're glad that you came. I'm going to ask you to remain here at the front, if you will. And after we're dismissed, come by and give them the right hand of Christian fellowship, if you will, and welcome them into our Sunday. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have evening service here. We're going to be preaching about the blood of Jesus. And I think that we'll teach you something tonight about the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a bloody religion. Amen? But it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Brother Sam, will you dismiss us, please, in our benediction?